What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Wednesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer and David Faber. Dow futures lose a 300-point gain and then some as April core CPI runs hot, up 0.6. That's double the prior month, even as headline inflation slows to the slowest sequential growth since August of last year. Two-year yield rockets near 2.9. We're going to begin with the market reaction to the April CPI data, Jim. Used cars down month on month, but new cars as you suspected.
Yeah, Philippo had that yesterday, and I think that there's enough in here to make it so that if the Fed keeps pushing, it will turn. I mean, I don't know why people felt that after he only did a certain amount that that would already send the CPI over. And I do feel that he was wrong to limit and say not 75. I mean, he could come out today and do 75, and there would be a relief rally.
You're not calling for an intermeeting.
No, I wish he would do that, frankly, because I just think that he has to shake things up. You know, we're very close to pushing over a lot of different things, but they have to be pushed over. And people have to say, all right, the biggest asset that has gone down is the stock market. It's really hurt people. There's a lot of stocks that we thought would have the ability to survive because they had profitability, and it's turning out not to be the case. It's the weakest part of the U.S. economy is the stock market. And I think that's actually, unfortunately, positive if you're the Fed. It just has to translate into why did new cars go up? I mean, why didn't people say, you know what, I don't have the money to be able to do it? We have a lot of companies that are falling apart. We have companies that are saying, listen, you know, what people think, we're not going bankrupt. I mean, I don't want to see that. But I don't think that we're that far. I just think that we need a couple more Fed tightenings. And then I think that what's going to happen is you're going to say, well, listen, there's a lot of companies that are very profitable. They've come down a lot, and let's buy them. And everything's been junked up by all these ETFs that have been put together and the greed of Wall Street that has just made it so that you've got the bad with the good. And I think you're going to have to sit back and say, you know what, there are a lot of companies that came public in the last 18 months that are as worthless as the companies that came public during 1990-2000. They have a little more cash. But we're seeing so many companies where you look at 23, 24, 25 numbers, and there's really no hope to profitability. And they do have enough cash to get there. They tend to be name brand companies that you look at them and you say, oh, all brands, look how low that is. I got to buy it. Warby Parker, I got to buy it. And then there's nothing. There's like no raison d'etre. I mean, a lot of companies came public that during this period where it was very forgiving. And that period's over.
Yep.
And I liked that. I mean, that period's over. That's one of the principal sources of inflation was that, you know, like $9 trillion worth of equities. And I don't want people to lose money. But I do know that when you look at something like a Coinbase, it's just terrible. But Gary Gensler told you it was terrible. There's a lot of people, Carl, who told you things were terrible. You know, told you that that these coins that were stable coins were terrible. And people just ignored them. I mean, I think that Coinbase is just another asset that is chimerical. I mean, we don't need it.
Coinbase.
Well, I mean, like, look, Coinbase, they've been belligerent the whole way down. They've been belligerent. Angry at their critics, but the critic is the commission. And I've said over and over again, you can never criticize the commission. You may hate the commission, but the commission runs. I mean, look, Elon Musk hates the commission, but he's never done the things that Coinbase has done.
There's a look at Coin this morning, below 55. David, a lot of it's also getting the analysts to admit to their prior mistakes. I mentioned last night, Piper in January named Coin a top pick with a target of 440. It looks a lot harder to get to now.
Yeah, 440 would be a good distance from here, I think, guys. You know, as you know, I have a keen sense for the obvious. And yeah, that would be a lot of points. You know, Jim, I don't know what you do with these things at this point. What was this, an $85 billion market value not long after it came public, if I recall. Now, to be fair, the CEO on Twitter did make it clear that this new language about bankruptcy was something that they felt was required by new SEC regs, and you know that there was a large overreaction to that, as I think you're aware.
Right, but you know, David, look, J.P. Morgan, you know, the actually literal J.P. Morgan, always said that if you have to defend your credit risk and say that, look, you're not going to get bankrupt, it's over for you. Now, I don't think it's over for Coinbase. I mean, they've got a business, but the business is terrible. I mean, it's a terrible business. And crypto is a terrible business. But if you said that 6 weeks ago, there are enough people who would jump on you that you would just say, you know what, I want to tell the truth about crypto, but David, no one wants to hear it. And now you're looking at these stable coins and they're anything but stable. And we're all trying to just say, don't worry about that. Well, I mean, I don't have to not worry about that. I can just go buy an oil company. You know, there's a big bifurcation, David, between companies that are going to get there and companies that aren't going to get there, or companies that don't care about getting there. I have Roblox on tonight. And Roblox is a very good company, but they're not trying to get profitable. They have a lot of cash. They want to do a great product. You know, so there's this like third way where you have a lot of cash, you have cash flow, you don't have to get profitable. But then there's a lot of other companies, David, that I'm just like worried about. And I wasn't worried about them until they told me to worry.
Understood. But to your point, a lot of them have a lot of cash. They've kind of grown up in that mantra of spend, spend, spend for growth, 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 because you'll ultimately get rewarded. This is not a market that's rewarding growth anymore. Certainly not with those kind of multiples when you're actually that growth is not something that is right here and now and something you can count on.
But, David, you've got companies that are growth companies that come down so much that the price to earnings multiples are actually very reasonable. Are they supposed to be kept down? Should we say that they're kept down by Peloton?
I know.
How about Toast? How about Warby Parker?
Well, we're going to come back to Microsoft. Everybody should own Microsoft because the multiple's gotten so low now.
No, but you can own a Chipotle. I mean, look. No, I mean, but you know, look at Carvana, David. Should Carvana bring down General Motors? I mean, the only thing to bring down General Motors is that Kathy Wood has selected it as one of her numbers. And you know, she's just a kiss of death.
Yes, you did bring.
I'm saying all the things that you wanted to say, but you felt like you were constrained, like that she's the kiss of death. As soon as I saw that she bought GM, I wanted to call Mary Barra and say sorry. Gee, sorry, Mary. I thought you were doing better than you got on her list.
Jim, I'll give you another name. How about Kohl's? I know you've been following that one pretty closely with, I think, you know, the guy who's been running that proxy fight.
They rejected,
it's a loser, by
John
the way.
Duskin's plan
everything
there.
I hear. Yeah, everything I hear is they've lost. He's lost. I mean, Kohl's has won. You know that they're going to swipe him out. Sweep. All their directors are going to get reelected. Not sure what that means, by the way, for their sale process and whether they take their foot off the gas at Kohl's. We should be hearing any moment now. I think that's expected to come out momentarily.
But what happened to all those private equity guys? They were so excited. They were so excited about the gold toe socks and the private equity pants and stuff. I mean, you know, the private label pants. And what happened there? Nike?
I don't know. Listen, David Simon, Simon Properties has interest. I mean, there's some definite interest in purchasing the company.
Yeah,
we know that. But this is a reaffirmation
company.
Of investors' belief in the current management and their plan, which you've been relatively positive on.
I have been because I think that they actually have cash flow. They've got a good deal with Amazon. Where you can return stuff to Amazon. Yep. The stores look better than ever. But so did Best Buy, and their stock's going down. And Bed Bath & Beyond, David, that was a name that Mesellem championed, and that's not as done as well as I would have thought, right? Bed Bath? BBBY?
Yeah.
Well, I can't just sit here and say everything's bad. Carl, I'm not going to do that. We have had the bad drive down the good, like some sort of Gresham's Law, where you look at situations and you're like, you'll see these stocks. I won't even mention their names, but it's like, here's one. I'm not going to mention Singularity Future Tech, but NASDAQ-listed company CEO is fugitive on the run for allegedly operating a massive Ponzi scheme. Chinese company. Thank you, Nate Hindenburg. I mean, I don't know. Does that say don't buy Western Digital? I mean, well, I have GlobalFoundries on tonight. They had a really good number.
Yep.
David, I rebel against you. Not everything's pro generation, David.
No.
David?
Not everything is, David. Jim. You're right.
Not everything's
talk space.
There
are always things to potentially buy. And they aren't all oil companies, I wouldn't think. But take your life in your hands doing it right now. I mean, a lot of guys came in today. A lot of people came in expecting that number was not going to be as hot, and they really thought this was going. We were going to rally it, and we saw what happened with the futures in terms of that reversal. It is a long day.
It's a long week.
It's been a long year so far for anybody long.
That's pretty good.
We should mention the 10-year, although back to 305 is not back to 320 where it was.
I'm just sitting here and I'm just saying, okay, look, I have to deal with companies. I look at them. I say, okay, someone called me last night in the lightning round, Raytheon. Well, you know, you got the president spending, you know, there could be a $30 billion package for Ukraine.
House just passed 40.
Yeah. So, I mean, Raytheon's very much in the mix. So should I hate Raytheon? Should I hate Lockheed Martin because of HCAT? Because of Upstart? David, I'm not selling a technology company because of Peloton. All right?
Okay. David? I think that's fair. I think that's fair. It doesn't mean it's not going to go down.
That's what people are doing. They're giving up because of Avaya. They've had it because of Carvana. David's laughing. When you have COVID, you can just laugh. When you're healthy, you can't laugh.
Is that one of the side effects? Uncontrollable laughter?
Yeah, uncontrollable. Yes. David's probably in that new ketamine drug for people who have...
I have to walk out of here, Carl, to just start laughing again. It's just so contagious.
Are you even sick? Isn't this nonsense? In China, I know you'd be in the ICU, but...
I'm not sick, thankfully, any longer, and I'm going to be next to you very soon, so get ready, because I'm not sick. I'm expecting a negative test today.
Are you going to be wearing a hazmat suit like we're in China? I want a hazmat suit from
you.
Because I want zero COVID on this desk.
I already am done with my antiviral, and I'm feeling good, so I'm ready.
Good.
But I'm stuck here.
Speaking of zero COVID,
good.
Some signs of progress in China. Shanghai says about half of the city now has zero COVID status.
There you go.
Which does make you wonder, Jim, if we get those lockdowns easing, then what happens to inflation?
If we get the lockdowns easing, and I think that actually you might get an end to some of inflation, because a lot of the inflation in apparel is freight.
You don't think so? That's interesting. So you think a reopening of China is a better supply story than it is a negative sort of inflationary demand story?
I have too many companies that are shipping stuff that used to go by boat, but if it goes by boat, it's a slow boat from China. So no,
it literally is, exactly.
I just think that look, we need this, and we need Putin to come to his senses. But these, you know, having Putin come to senses and Xi come to senses is rather radical.
Well, we did have Musk at that FT conference yesterday, and he made a lot of news. But one of the things he said was that the Chinese are lifting some of these lockdowns quickly. Well, now, he's a special case and will get some preference.
Well, look, I mean, all the public health scientists that I deal with, and I deal with a considerable number, cannot believe what's going on over there, that it's so worse than what we were during the period when we were trying to figure this out. I mean, they have the drugs that work. They have the drugs that David managed to get. They're not on the black market. And what's happened is they're not using them. Instead, they're going for, you know, 100% lockdown, which is something you did in March of 2020.
So you think that's the first, you think that's the most important thing that could go right in terms of lucky breaks?
No, what could go right is Putin killed.
What?
But that's probably, remember, Stalin died in his bed and Mao died in his bed. So you got a lot of bad guys just kind of got through this. But when you go over the Chechen War, I mean, in the end, nobody lived.
Well, they've
that
lost.
Was the plan, well, Grozny.
D&I Haynes yesterday talked about an escalatory period that we're in now. That the better Ukraine does, in a sense, the more dangerous Putin becomes.
Well, if they make it from, instead of a police action like we have with Korea to a full-scale war, then I think that it's going to be difficult to beat them. But we have superior armament, we meaning what we're sending over there. And we're obviously taking it much more seriously than we did when we were just, you know, giving them a couple grenades. But I do think that you need one of these two to go well. And then, I mean, a lot of companies' earnings have been crushed by Russia, but it's like 2-3%, but you didn't even know they had. Like, did you know that Allbirds had, like, a considerable Russian business?
I mean, most of the suspects include MasterCard, for example.
Right. You know. A lot of people in Russia had 2 and 3 credit cards. That's always been known, and they built their own system. MasterCard's come down a lot, and it's kind of interesting. But I think that we're stuck with is that if your company has a high-priced earnings multiple and doesn't make anything and doesn't return capital, the stock is going down. And if your company does, it's going does those things, it's going to go up. David, not every company, there are a lot of companies that are doing incredibly well, and they're being brought down by Mr. ETF. I mean, there have been ETFs that have been created to literally destroy people's capital, and they're so effective, it's rather amazing. It's almost like they were done by a closet Fed operation on the 13th floor of the Empire State Building.
Really? So what? The guys at Unity Software got to blame some ETF for the fact that their stock's going to be down 16 points? Come on.
They're nice people. Will you lay off?
I am. Look in the mirror. That's what they got to do.
They're nice.
Yeah.
Unity had a couple. They had a problem with Apple. They had the Apple problem.
Right.
Tracking.
Tell me. All right. Tell people about it, because I'm looking at a stock that's it's $32.
It was an advertising-based company. It was an advertising-based company that ran into the Apple privacy laws. And they explain that things aren't as good, so lay off them. They explain things aren't that good, David. As opposed to a lot of other companies are doing really poorly and telling me things are good. At least they had the darn guts to say it isn't good.
It's true. What did the upstart CEO have to say as well? About things not being so good.
That was a suboptimal conversation, frankly. Well, Upstart was a platform. Is a platform to be able to syndicate, to get loans, create small loans. But they ended up having loans on their balance sheet, of which some aren't that good. So those of us who thought it was this terrific, terrific platform discovered that they had a lot of what could be bad loans on their balance sheet, and they couldn't syndicate the loans. So, Carl, what happens is, and they have one vintage that was almost 3%. Historically, that's about as high as you can get before things really roll over. Now, they had a very valid concept, kind of like, no, you don't need FICO anymore. We're using artificial intelligence. But the AI didn't work when the 2-year went up dramatically.
Right.
So I think they'll be fine. David, it was a contentious conversation. It was not. I mean, I went home last night and I said to my wife, I need your mezcal. I had a tough conversation. She told me to put my big pants on. Shut up.
Now, I'm glad. Listen, you had to have that conversation. I'm glad you had the conversation. In fact, I'd like to listen to a little bit of it because, you know, this was a stock as well that was held privately by a lot of hedge funds. It made their years last year. I mean, I know Third Point, for example, huge owner here. Couldn't hear enough about it. Right. And now look at it.
But
I think
we
have time to take a listen to a back and forth. Yeah, let's do that.
Why is the average delinquency rate of 10 months of 2021 vintage 2.91%? I was not born yesterday. That's a really high number.
It's not a high number, Jim. Look, our whole goal is to predict exactly how much loans are going to default. That's the notion of a risk model, to accurately predict. It's not perfect, but we've been dramatically more predictive than others.
All right. It's been more predictive, but you know, look, David knows this from the era where things went wrong. David, when you started hearing these vintages, now a lot of his vintages are good, they start going to 2.9. People don't think the 2.9 is bad because like that means that there's 97.1 that's good. But do you remember when it was 7%, it was game over?
Yes, of course, because it swamped the equity.
So,
that was it. The old
waterfall,
right, you're
done.
Right, you
have to stop. Right, I was just saying, I was begging him to get those loans off the book. I said, get the loans off the book. Don't put those loans on the book. And it was one of these meetings, it was on air, where I was just saying, listen, if you get the loans off the book, the stock's going to go up. But right now you're heavily shorted and people don't like it. And, you know, look, we're getting contentious conversations now because we have people who come on our shows and they're telling us things are good. And we have to say to them, listen, that's just not true. We're back into year 2000 mode or 2007 mode, where it's just like, look, please come on and say, listen, we screwed up. We're going to do better. That's why I liked Unity. John Riccitelli said, we screwed up, we're going to do better. I thought that was great.
Well, luckily, so Atlantic cuts to neutral today after all of this. So we do have that going for us. We're going to get to a bunch of other names this morning. Wynn, SoFi, Wendy's, EA, Oxy, even as macro obviously has its hands on the wheel today with CPI. Although futures are off the lows of the session.
Long day.
And Squawk on the Street's back in a minute.
1 in 8. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. Who serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to McDonald's.
1 in 8, start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
Hello, I'm Laura Castleton, U.S. Head of Portfolio Construction and Strategy at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of brighter futures for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
Let's get Kramer's Mad Dash as we count down to the bell.
Well, you mentioned right before we went on a break, Wendy's. And Wendy's is kind of the classic case of what we're seeing. Now, McDonald's was a little bit better, but where they just say, look, we didn't do the number, and we didn't do the number because of higher general and administrative expense, decrease in company-operated restaurant margins, the company's development, digital organizations cost money, higher salaries, benefits. I mean, none of these things are what you want to hear. However, that's what we've expected. I mean, do we think we get a CPI number that's hot and Wendy's isn't impacted? But so what you have to do is you find an operator that's doing a little bit better, like Chipotle, that has been able to outrun the cost. They can take price. They've got really better management. They're using machines, robots to make chips. They're better organized outfits. So again, what I keep coming back to is that we're in a rare moment in time where some companies are better than other companies, but they're all trading badly. And that's an opportunity, but you have to discern. You have to take the homework home. And my wife was asking me, at 11 o'clock, what are you reading? And I said, I'm just reading about Coinbase. I'm trying to figure out what happened here.
Well, we did get a bullish call today out of B of A on Chipotle, speaking of which.
Cool.
The thing, though, Jim, on Wendy's, they talked about short-term headwinds in breakfast, which we generally use as a proxy for employment. I mean, if the economy slows, things like that will begin to surface.
Yes, they will. I mean, we are seeing lots of layoffs.
Carvana yesterday.
Yeah, Carvana's layoffs were bad. I go back to what happened at Facebook, Meta, where Mark Zuckerberg said, you know what, I don't need to hire as many junior analysts and hire 10 juniors. I can go hire engineers. I can hire senior engineers. Now, it was immediately put off as like, well, they're losing money, they're doing badly. But Zuckerberg, when you talk to him, what he's saying is there's talent available again. And that's going to change. Now, again, that doesn't happen immediately. Like, we haven't even seen the housing start numbers be bad yet. But we know what the mortgage rates are. We haven't seen a company just say, you know what, we don't have the demand. Like, we had AZEK, a good company. They make deck. They made my deck. They put a good number. And the stock is going to make a little comeback. But I don't see a lot of companies that are doing well in housing. I don't see a lot of companies that are making a lot of things that people want, again, that came public. Like grills. I'm focused on grills.
We talked about this
yesterday. Grills because, like, Traeger is a great grill, and I like their grill, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Weber. Like,
well,
really, why'd you come public?
Existing home sales.
Curse, Michael?
J.P. Morgan yesterday. Existing home sales are running at a 12% decline on an annual rate. Over 6 months.
Look, if you read the Zillow call, which maybe is the benchmark and one of the worst calls of the quarter, it just said, like, the housing market stopped. Really? I'm listing my house at $4.5 million stopped. Was that why no one showed up at the open house?
That's exactly right.
It's happened so fast that the numbers can't compute it. And, yes, it's true that rent's going up. But if you're trying to sell your house, according to Zillow, you're not going to sell your house. Now, yes, if you're one of these moguls and you have a big Palm Beach house, you're fine till the revolution. Just kidding. There's no revolution. But I do think that there's a lot of companies that were an EV. But no, thank you. David, you look at the companies that have come public that are burning cash. And do you think it's right to step in and say, you know what, this is the moment?
Not in this market, no. But that moment will come back at some point. I mean,
will the companies be there?
References. I don't know. We make references to the late 90s and 2000 where an enormous amount of business plans were funded that never should have been. Again, even when we were calling out the absurdity of things trading at incredible multiples, and certainly what we saw is those ridiculous projections from so many SPAC companies that went public through SPAC. At the same time, Jim, it's not that period as well. I mean, many of these companies do have a road to profitability that you can see and a product that you can actually touch and feel as opposed to the air, I think, that 22 plus years ago we saw so often. I'm not saying that there aren't going to be those, but there may be a moment when it's time to buy them again.
You look at the cash, like I have Roblox on tonight, and people are unhappy with the quarter, but yeah, look, David Baszucki is a very smart guy, and what he's saying is we have huge cash flow. We have a lot of cash. I know our stock's down. It's down 77%. I don't really care. We're building a great business. And do you buy Roblox? I mean, there'll be a time when they're the survivor. They have a lot of money. It's just that a lot of institutions don't want to buy a stock that's collapsing. But that is a good company. Do I want to go out and buy it today? No, but I'm saying that they're going to be around. And they're not involved in bad engagement. It's uplifting engagement. But he doesn't care about profitability right now. It's not a factor.
That's right. EBITDA was a miss, but DAUs were in line and bookings were in line.
Right. I mean, look, I would have liked bookings to be a little bit better because he says that's a major indicator of how they're doing because that's the little things that people buy. But you know what? If you have a long-term, if you have a Kathy Wood view, Roblox is that she should be buying Roblox. She should be. Not GM. GM.
Here's a look at the opening bell and Brett at the big board today. It is Genuine Parts Company, distributor of automotive replacement parts at the NASDAQ. Singen, a autonomous vehicle technology company, Jim.
Well, which would you rather have? There it is, Genuine Parts or the other one? I mean, Genuine Parts, a real good company.
Yep.
Yields 2.7. They could easily do a split off. It's 16 times earnings. They make things. They give money back. That's a real company. I like General Parts. Genuine Parts. I've liked it for a long time. It's a really good company. But should it be polluted by toast? I mean, am I supposed to do that? No. I'm not going to let Carvana bring down Genuine Parts, David. David.
Yep. Okay, I'm here, Jim. You can't get away from that Carvana. You're very focused
on
that.
Well, look, they did a secondary at 80.
Why?
Well, because they did a secondary at 80 3 weeks ago. It's at 80, okay? That's right?
Yep.
And now the stock's at 35, yep. And there was no split.
No, it's
80
true.
To 35. It's,
that's
David,
not
that's
a good
not,
situation. Not to mention,
thank you.
I think the founder put in a lot more money as well, didn't they?
And
didn't
the,
they put
the
another,
father
what, was
and
it, 400
son.
Million bucks in?
But the father managed to sell a lot of stock at a pretty higher level.
That's right.
I'm just
right.
mentioning the stocks
and
that are
obviously,
causing
I did
damage.
Talk to Ares and Apollo last week at Milken about it because both of them had invested in that. Both of them invested in, what was it, the convert or preferred? But
they had a good bond there. Excellent opportunity.
To provide financing for the company. I think it was more. It was over a double-digit coupon on that thing. But, yeah, I guess, all right, you're right. Why not mention a stock that's down 85% year-to-date? That's the amazing thing, Jim and Carl, is that that's not alone. You can find quite a few other names that are down perhaps as much as 80%. And so, Jim,
year-to-date?
Are they just done again is the question, or is this a point at which you have to sort of get brave and say, you know what, this is not a business that's going away?
All right. You raise a great question, David. I remember I was short a company called Merry-Go-Round, MGRE, which was an apparel company, and they had minus 30 same-store sales. And Grow Generation, which is a company I championed during the period where it went from 15 to 50, which was a good idea. Well, Grow Generation, which is now at 3, it was at 40 not that long ago. And they have some cash, so don't panic. They've got some cash, $65 million in cash. But they had same store sales that were down in the 30s. So I don't know. And they delayed their Q. I've always felt, David, a delayed Q. I'm putting that in the negative category. And Grow Generation is a company that allows you to be able to grow pot. There's an excess in pot. Cannabis has turned out to be one of the worst story ideas ever. And Hindenburg told me, I was up against Hindenburg this when it was going to 40 because it was a roll-up. But, David, I just think when you have a stock that went down from 52 in July to 3 today, that is what the Fed might actually be happy about.
Yes, it might
David.
Be. Maybe there'll be some real demand destruction, Jim.
Well, that's what's going to happen, David. Now, it's not going to happen at the 34-foot Boston Whaler level. It's going to happen at the 18-foot Boston Whaler level.
Well, there are some other names in the EV space. One of them is the market cap's too small to mention, but it's a going concern filing this morning, which we may begin to see more of.
Can you canoe a canoe?
Don't out me like that. By the way, regarding coin, Goldman throwing in the towel, going to neutral.
Yeah.
We still feel it represents a blue chip way to gain exposure.
But unlikely to
return to recent levels of profitability.
I'm going
to
go back. They said blue chip? Like when you were like a little kid and you had the pokers and the reds, your mom told you the whites were bad, the reds were okay. They're plastic.
Yeah.
Blue chip.
Yeah.
David, how blue chip is Coinbase? Is it too early, David?
Yes.
They said they're not going bankrupt. I read a tweet.
How do I know? I don't know. Thankfully, I leave that to you, and you get all
well,
the haters.
Well, no, I mean, look, Stan, look, there's a level. People are going to keep their crypto somewhere. I try to move my crypto around so they can't find it.
Well, actually, yesterday, Morgan Stanley, fascinating look at the crypto retail percentage of crypto trading was once 80%. It's down to 30. And their point is that as institutions, which are more reliant on capital availability, more exposed to rates, that's why the correlation's gotten so close.
Yeah. Well, remember that Robinhood had a huge amount of people doing crypto, and they had, there were people come here. Look, I own crypto. I own Ethereum. I own it too, as Upstart said, a price discovery. But I have to tell you, David, when I look at crypto, I say to myself, how many times did Gary Gensler, the commissioner, warn you that this stuff could be really dangerous? And did people listen to him? No, they thought he was an old fuddy-duddy.
Well, we still haven't gotten regulation yet, just to be fair. We actually haven't gotten anything, right? Unless I missed
it. But David, it's innovation. Are you anti-innovation? Is that you?
No, I'm not anti-innovation.
Well,
I'm
not.
Okay. Hey, Jim, is it too early to buy
Go
Unity
take your
software?
Montpelier medicine.
Down 36%. Is it too early to buy Unity software this morning?
David, you cut me to the quick. Why don't we listen to him tonight? Don Riccitelli. I mean, there were things that were self-inflicted, but the problem here is that Apple did change its algo, and we're finding you've got companies that were doing great during the pandemic. You have companies that got kind of bushwhacked by Apple. John Riccitiello has been around forever. I think he's going to pull it off. He does have metaverse things going, but, you know, it's not a great market to speculate.
By the way, back to coin really quick. I do want to hear this piece of sound from Brian Armstrong talking about, Jim, the difference between a short-term rough period and what happens if that short period gets extended. Take a listen.
This is just like we had one quarter where the market kind of pulled back. I think there'll be real kind of blood running in the streets or something like that if it continues for four quarters or something like that. And I will say that our cash balance does give us a big advantage here in the sense that we can actually continue to invest. In the past, we've seen people get distracted. We've seen people get discouraged. We've seen companies pivot to try to do something unrelated. And it's generally been a mistake.
Generally been a mistake.
Generally, yeah. Well, generally, wow. I want to see how their NFT business is doing. Apparently, that's not really expanding that well. Here's what I found was interesting. Their headcount increased dramatically. 4,984 people increased 33%. That's ill-advised. When your business is getting gobsmacked, you don't just start adding employees. It's just not the way it goes. And I saw that and I said, okay, well, that's just kind of the opposite of what you do. Maybe you're throwing good money after bad. Maybe you should be retrenching. But a lot of companies don't want to retrench because that indicates that therefore they're not on a path to profitability. But the way to get the path to profitability is to retrench. But there's so many companies that were just about total addressable market that they didn't care about profitability. And it's absolutely true, David, there are companies that have capital, so they'll get through this. But I think that I'm beginning to believe that J. Powell's targeting the stock market.
Really? I think he's doing a good job if that's in fact what he's trying to accomplish. Yeah.
It's not like he's out there saying he feels bad about people who own stock for getting hit.
No. I do wonder what it's going to mean for employment over time. I mean, you just raised that idea that they were hiring a lot of people. That's got to come to a very quick end. Certainly so many of these software engineers, where there were bidding wars, these private companies that were able to offer enormous amounts of stock, obviously without being public, but the idea that they would be. That's got to have come to a very quick halt, right? I mean, the leverage of those in the technology arena has probably gone away a great deal when it comes to their ability to garner ever higher wages.
That's why Zuckerberg's saying this is our chance. I mean, if you take a look at RH, the seminal quarter conference call this year may have been RH, where Gary Friedman basically just said, you know, Ukraine and this, that,
at the time, we thought he sounded hysterical.
We did.
Yeah.
And now it turns out that he was a seer.
Yeah.
He was a seer. And that's top 52-week low. But, David, when I say demand destruction, I'm not saying that Jay Powell says we got to take down RH. What I'm saying is that people feel very insecure, whether it be Russia, whether it be China, or whether it be the Fed. And so they're not buying a lot, so you're getting gluts. And when you get gluts, then you get price cut. And when you get price cut, you got to fire people. And that is what's happening to every industry I know about other than the chemical industry.
Okay, so that means things are going to reverse more quickly perhaps than we think. We're going to have a different conversation this summer then about a sudden, you know, how things are looking?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that's why I say it's a long day. I mean, there are a lot of companies that have enough money to be able to just to creep along on like 2000. But, I mean, I don't know what the end game is for Warby Parker. What's the end game? 310 times 2022 earnings per share, David, I still regard as expensive.
I know. I brought it up yesterday, the increase in, in prescriptions and the like from 20 to 21, but that's not necessarily seen as sustainable. It's true.
No.
I mean, you may look back at that also and say it was a beneficiary of the pandemic.
Right. I mean, look, I had Papa John's on. This is a good example. They are doing better than Domino's. They are doing better than Pizza Hut. And UBS says top line pressure, they cut it from 144 to 93. Doesn't mention that they're taking big share from everybody. Doesn't care. And yet that's a good situation, Papa John's. You can feed a family of four for $7. They pivoted to like what happens when the economy slows. Pizza's been historically a good category, but what are people telling me? No, that's what people ate during the pandemic. They're not doing that anymore. They're going to Le Bernardin, and they're going they're probably going to they're not really going to Danielle.
Your point is a good one, because food away from home year on year, up 7.2.
Right.
Food at home year on year, 10.8.
I know.
It's cheaper to go out.
Well, look, I'm going to have to talk to Tony Hsu, because the fact is that there are people who are desperate. American Express will tell you this too. People are desperate to leave their houses. So when you read Roblox, David, they're basically saying, listen, people aren't staying at home as much. What do you think? Well, you know, did you think it would be better, David? Did you think it'd be better?
No, I didn't have any thoughts about it at all.
What?
Guys, not at all. Give me a thought, though, on Disney. I'm going to report after the bell. Jim, it's a name we've talked here endlessly about. Obviously, when you talk about people going out, you think about the parks and attendance. Very strong.
Are they
going
to take a charge on Fox?
Direct to consumer is going to be a key.
They take a charge on Fox?
You mean
how bad that is?
A goodwill impairment charge of some kind as a result of...
Yeah, a goodwill impairment charge.
It's possible.
Maybe it's time for that.
Yeah.
I don't know, like a $35 billion impairment, maybe?
Now you seem to be calling for that, don't you? Yeah. You have some information you want to share, or maybe you just
I do not. I just look at how Fox is doing, and I question whether it's really helped the company as much as people thought it would. But I don't think that Governor DeSantis can do much more to destroy it. They had a good movie this weekend. You know, they make movies, David, and people go to them, and they pay a lot of money. And it doesn't all go to Adam Aaron, as we saw yesterday. David?
That is true. They make movies. They have great rides.
They have a theme park you can't get into.
Thrills and they're theme parks, and you can't get into them. And they have a direct-to-consumer business that still is probably the chief focus of many investors. And after that Netflix quarter, of course, we will be very curious to see how they did in terms of subscriber additions.
What they did wrong, David, was that they started, we were always concerned, Carl, about how ESPN was doing. So then they came up with a new stream, Disney Plus. So now all we're concerned about is how Disney Plus is doing. They've got this core business of theme parks, which is a license to print money. It's a fabulous business. They have franchise. They have this Marvel. There can be 100 movies from Marvel. There can be 100 from Star Wars. It is a great, iconic company, but people hate it. And I don't know. To me, that's an opportunity.
Certainly, the noose of Netflix is around them, which, by the way, has lost more from pre-COVID levels than even the travel companies, right?
Well, there's so many different things to watch. And I was watching an L.A. Lakers thing, Winning Time. I don't even know. I just, you know what I do? I don't know if you guys do it. Play Winning Time. I have no idea. I don't even want to know what state. Play Winning Time.
Sure.
You know? I mean, like, Winning Time's probably going off my ass right now.
Yeah, it's John C. Riley, Michael Chiklis.
That's HBO.
He's fabulous in it, Chiklis.
Yes.
He's fabulous.
Our
he watches the show. You know, look, I think Airbnb's launching a new one in 10 minutes. Let's take a look at that. That stock's been down. I like that company. It's big cash flow.
Yeah, we do have some gains here. Dow's up 135.
I'm telling you, it's a long day. We're separating the wheat from the chaff. David, there's a lot of chaff.
Exxon.
That's Philadelphia.
Yeah, well, Exxon and Chevron are both up 3%. So you got energy once again surging.
You know what they do for a living?
Yeah, they find
bring
oil.
Something out of the ground and make a lot of money, and they sell it, and then they buy back stock. And now Exxon's run by the Audubon Society? Is it run by the Green Coalition now?
No, it is not. No, it is not. It's run by a very capable group of people. Been spending a lot of time with them, believe me. They
Good.
Are capable.
You'd go down there and hope they don't give you COVID too.
No, there's no COVID. Anybody's given anybody COVID. I'm not going to have COVID again for who knows. Could be weeks.
Go to
Jim.
China, man.
Maybe months.
Get locked up for even saying that. We really got to go.
Well, I went 2.5 years without
getting it. That's too bad, because that was really interesting just now.
Yeah.
Apple, by the way, did hit a fresh 2-month low. And we got S&P 4012. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Hey, Bob.
Jim's right. We're separating the wheat from the chaff. The problem is there's a lot of chaff still on the floor right now. I just want to show you the futures because we're continuing these stunning moves intraday, before the open. We moved 100 points on the futures, 40.44 to 39.44 in a few minutes on the CPI report, and then bounce back. Going into the open, 50 points or so. Now you can say, well, it's pre-market, doesn't matter. Well, we're happening intraday, too. We're getting these 100-point moves really quick as well. Just take a look at the sectors right now. Energy doing well. The commodities complex is marginally more positive on some China news this morning. Consumer staples, see defensive names, tech's down. If you look at mega cap tech names, Carl mentioned Apple, everything's down in the 1% to 2% range right at the open. NVIDIA down a little bit. Apple, Micron, the big cap, mega cap tech names are to the downside. If you want to put that up. The important thing here, if you want to look at the other names there's everything down 1%. Micron just went positive. But Cathie Wood's ARK was down 5% at the open. And we are now approaching those March 20 lows, 2020 lows. So she closed March 20th, 2020, $37.85. Look, $39. We're a dollar and a half away from the lows back in 2020 for that fund here. That's what you call a head and shoulders right there. So keep an eye on that. I mentioned the commodity complex. Most of the high beta commodity names, Marathon, Hess, Freeport, McMoRan, Mosaic, all up today. Shanghai said half the city had achieved zero COVID status, but restrictions were still in place. The World Health Organization is already getting concerned. They're saying this is all unsustainable, what they're doing over there. But this is marginally positive, so you see the commodity complex moving up. Sentiment for the trading community, as I call around this morning, just remains terrible. If you look at some of these numbers, I like to see the street trying to argue sellers are getting exhausted and looking for buying opportunities. And they like to argue the April CPI is lower than the March CPI. And it's true. 8.3% is what we got year over year, was 8.5. So Wall Street loves to talk about rate of change is improving. The delta's improving a little bit. And I guess it is. But some people are starting to already try to price in 350 basis point rate hikes. That's really what's going on, and that's why the markets still continue to have problems. If you look at the market internals, they're terrible. The breadth on the NYSE advanced decline line has been negative most of the year. We're at 52-week lows for the NYSE 50 advanced decline line. Half of the S&P 500 is trading below the March lows, so we're not seeing any real notable bounce at all. If you look at the trader sentiment, I like to look at the Schwab trader sentiment. It comes out fairly regularly, and these are really active traders. 53% bearish. This came out this morning. 43% say it's a good time to invest, and their concerns are inflation and geopolitics. So here's really active traders that are not very bullish. Finally, I just want to point out what Allbirds said. You want to see the problems of selling goods in the global economy here? Allbirds said, tumbled around the world since our last earnings report, impacted the performance of our international business in Q1. It's expected to persist for the remainder of 2022. And Carl, that's one of the reasons people are concerned that earnings estimates are going to come down and there could be a potential another leg down in the market. More on that next week when we talk about earnings. Back to you.
All right, Bob. Thank you. Bob Pisani. As we go to break, let's take a look at the bond report this morning. Got the 10-year back below 3, which is saying something given the print this morning.
It's 9:49, and people have already decided the world has ended?
Not yet.
No.
Not today, Satan. Dow's up 225.
Not and, today, Satan.
Energy's doing a lot of heavy lifting here, up 3.5. We're back in a minute.
How do you land your dream job? It starts by acing the interview. Learn exactly what hiring managers are looking for with CNBC Make It's new career-boosting online course. Get the limited-time offer. Register now at cnbcmakeit.com/courses.
What a morning so far.
Yeah, first, we hope these stories doing quite well, Planet Fitness. Now, this is what I mean. Roblox, I'm tonight. I said they have a lot of money. They're doing their game plan. They're doing well. The stock is up. That makes sense. Global Foundries is a fantastic company where they doubled the earnings per share. They actually have a lot of business to do. They're great. Unity, they screwed up. They'll admit it themselves. I'm just looking for companies that are very good companies that are owning up to how weak that things could be in order to have a path toward profitability. And you can't give up on these companies. It's crazy. You've had a market going down for weeks.
Right.
Since November, the market's been going down.
And so far this week, your search for some bargains
is
bearing fruit.
Yes, they're there. And I'm up on them. And I know that I want David to feel better, but he looks better than all of us. So I don't understand what the deal is.
I don't know about all of us, but yes.
You got a little dose of Omicron, and suddenly he comes out. He's got the Montpelier Merck thing, and he looks better than ever. If you got the one from Pfizer, maybe you could, fly down to, Houston. Well,
yeah,
anyway,
no. I went Merck all the way, baby.
The 10 years flirting with 3, I'm not in the mode that I hear most people are. I'm looking. They've given up, and I'm looking. I have cash. They have nothing. They're in Coinbase. Congratulations. I move my crypto every day to a new one so they can't find me. They can't find my crypto. I'm in a new one.
We'll see you tonight, Mad Money, 6 p.m. When we come back, Morgan's interview with the chief of Harley in a moment.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.